It's Wednesday afternoon, August 11th. No, August 4th. I'm a week off.
August 4th. Got an August 11th in the brain because there's stuff going on August 11th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting tonight. Your spirit, your truth, the flow. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was get my notes out so I know where I'm at. I was listening to something, and you know, things trying to catch your attention, and the guy was kind of making a joke out of the talking donkey and Balaam, you know, kind of doing it, reading it in a comical way, you know. So I decided I'd look it up and read it for myself, which I did. And, you know, the donkey, it starts in chapter 22, verse 23. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite long.
In Numbers?
Yeah, Numbers 22, verse 23. When the donkey sees the angel of the Lord and he walks off the road into the field, and Balaam gets mad and he beats him, and when he goes down the road a little farther, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord, and he moves again, and Balaam beats the donkey, and the second or third time, Balaam crushes his ankle, and he really gets mad. But then, starting in verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish that I had a sword in my hand, so now I would kill you." And I read that and I thought, now, if I had a dog or a donkey, and it turned around and said and started talking to me, you think the first thing I would ask it is that question? You know, it kind of struck me funny as a donkey is talking to you, and that's all you've got to say. You know, so the donkey said to him, "Am I not the donkey on which you had ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord. And then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam that if the donkey hadn't gone off the path, I would have killed you. In verse 33, "I would also have killed you by now and let her live." In verse 33. What really caught me is because the question that Balaam had to the donkey,
I totally understand. The way it's written is it's pretty commonplace where you'd have a conversation with your donkey, and your donkey would talk to you.
Yeah.
So
people talk to their pets all the time, but pets don't talk back. But, that was the one thing I had. Second one is in 2 Kings. And tonight I was just kind of flipping, grabbing a bunch of pages and flipping through, and I opened up to 2 Kings, chapter 13.
2 Kings?
Yeah. And there was something that was kind of surprising to me. How did I get there?
2 Kings. Chapter
13.
13. Verse 20. 2 Kings, where's your Bible, Chuck? Oh, last time I was here, you read even. 13:20. Then Elijah, well, I should probably start at 19, but. And then, okay, I'll start at 19. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times." Then Elijah died, and they buried him in the raining bands from Noab, invaded the land in the spring of that year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet.
Whoa.
So a dead man's bones raised a man from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Some kind of bones.
Yeah. I mean, that struck me as really amazing. You know, that the bones of a dead man raised a man from the dead.
Hmm.
You know.
Oh, it was just they were burying someone in that.
Yeah, burying. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get it then.
Right, not Elijah, somebody else.
Yeah, but hadn't they just buried Elijah?
Well, if you go up further, it says. In the spring of that year, Moab invaded the land in the spring of that year. So whatever
their tombs must have been somewhat open to where they would just slowly end up with just bones laying maybe on a slab.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. But yeah. So
it goes to say that Elijah had some touch on him.
Right, so the Moabites came in at the coming of the year, the new year, and then they buried someone. They were burying a man who must have died after the raid, and his bones touched Elijah, who had been down there for a while.
Yeah.
Now, how long the man had been dead, I don't know. But the power was still obviously in Elijah's bones.
Yeah.
And he did. We were actually talking about this the other day. Maybe it was Sunday. We were talking about. He did 14 miracles twice a day.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we're.
I wonder if this is one of them.
It could be. Because there were things that happened. You know, I was like. Because I think of Enoch and I think of Elijah. And. You know, we were talking about, you know, Keith says that vision, the horn or the trumpet goes off, and then there's kind of like a cloud or fog, whatever descends, and, you know, when it lifts, you know, to just see half as many people. You know, some have been lifted away, and some are going to avoid tribulations. Thank you. And so, then we were talking about Enoch and Elijah. Enoch was taken, and it was just before no one saw him leave. Elijah was taken up on a chariot of fire, so they saw that ascension. And then they talk about the other ascension. You know, it's assumed that those will go back up with Jesus, like in a cloud.
So this is Elisha, right?
It's pronounced Elisha. Elisha.
But Elijah.
Yeah, Ja and Shah.
This is Shah.
Yeah.
Is Elijah is the one that went up in in the chariot.
It took me a long time to get to it. I mean, because there was
one letter. Get confused.
Yeah, and they talk about right after another. I mean, Elisha was like Elijah's disciple.
Right.
But Yeah, it was interesting, Glenn, that you this came to, because we were just kicking this one around a little bit.
Dale and Mary called the older one is Elisha, or they named her after Elisha, but they called her Elisha. And then the next one they called Elijah. So those are the two oldest kids. And the strange thing is, she's a whirlwind for God. It's active. They're in a church, but spirit-filled, and her husband was a Baptist baby. And I think he's spirit-filled now. And I've seen a lot of things, a lot of good things happen. But in that dream that I had, I saw people in the field, and I saw a cloud cover them, but there was nobody left when the cloud left.
Oh, they were all gone.
They're all gone.
Well, that I missed.
Yeah. And I have thought about that a lot. It was a strange dream. And I think that we're going to see the fulfillment of it. I think we're going to see it. Or somebody's going to see it. And when we see in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia. But when I saw that, he said, I have set before you an open door. No man has shut it. You have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. And I don't know that we've fulfilled it totally, but we're coming closer to it. And because you have kept the word of my patience, for you have kept my word, and have now. And because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. I think we're going to see that. There was no reason for me to have that dream. That's been over 50 years ago.
Revelation 3:8, I believe.
Yeah.
For those on the tape.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure glad that God is in charge.
Amen.
Amen.
across something, but I know I can find it in John. And it just kind of puzzled me a little bit. Oh, yeah, here it is.
What we're at?
John 12. This is when a voice had come by, came from heaven. That's up in 28. I have both glorified it and glorified it again. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it said that it had thundered. Others, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." And here's the thing that caught me. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." When?
And then next verse, "If I be lifted up from the earth,
yeah,
all men will draw all men unto me." Now this he said, signifying what death he should die. So I suppose they're talking about the prince of this world will be, it says, cast out,
yeah,
defeated upon the crucifixion.
Yeah, so I mean, it just is odd, cast out. It's like, because I thought he still had power, you know.
And he
today.
Does. And he does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But maybe that also put a judgment on him that he only has so much time.
Yes.
Or something. I don't know. Yeah. It just was odd. Because if he was cast out, you would think he wouldn't have that much effect on this.
Yeah,
know.
But no effect. Right? Yeah, no, we'd be in the millennial kingdom here. Yeah, that is a funny choice of words, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, he was defeated. You know, he was defeated.
Yeah, he was defeated at the cross. That was
But cast out, that's a...
Yeah, it's an odd set of words. What do other ones say?
I'm looking, because it got my attention, too.
That's the New King James I was reading from, so...
This Geneva Bible has cast out.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What verse are you guys in?
It's John 12, verse
31. 31. Yeah. Okay. I started at 28.
NIV says, "Prince of this world will be driven out." The New Living says, "When Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out." English Standard says, "The ruler of this world be cast out." And then a lot of "be cast outs."
You know, there was something else somewhere that maybe it means that. Because in one place it says he has come down to earth, so maybe now he's not like ruling within the earth, but from outside of earth or something.
The New American Standard Bible, which is the one that I checked on, it says is the most literal, inserts the word "will." It says the ruler of this world will be cast out.
Okay,
and so. I think everything you said is exactly right. He's been defeated from the crucifixion, but I don't know that he is cast out until after the tribulation. I mean, but he knows he's on the clock. I think because it's the perfect sacrifice shed blood, and he's defeated by that blood, and he knows that. So
that might be it. Corky may have had the understanding there.
Well,
now is the time for judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out or driven out. And because of that event of the crucifixion, that is the defeat of Satan. He will be cast out.
Yeah. Eventually.
Yeah, right.
Again,
in God's time. And
yeah. Well, he gets thrown into the pit once, and then he comes back from that, and then he finally is driven into hell after that, into Hades forever, that lake of fire.
But, yeah, but the King James, the New King James, it's assumed, and you know, almost, well, what are you saying, it was done? And then you go, well, doesn't seem that way to me.
Yeah, right. That's what I was saying.
I think each of them talks about, uses that future tense, though, will be cast out.
Oh, yeah.
Will be driven out. Will be.
New American.
There's only a couple of the translations that say it that way.
Yeah, King James, most of them.
Gee, everything I'm looking at says will be.
Which,
well, the New King James and King James, I don't think, say that. No, well, mine doesn't say that.
Yeah, New King James says, will be cast out. Ruler of this world
will be cast out. That's right.
Will be.
New King
James. Yeah. Sorry. I had a different thought at the time I was reading it, and I guess I just, will be cast out. Okay.
But the King James does not have the word will in it.
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
The King James does not, and mine does not, and my translation comparer does not. Says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now shall. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah,
okay. And it was interesting. The King James calls it, now shall the prince. New King James says, now the ruler.
Yeah.
So prince went to ruler.
Prince of this world. I wonder if that's... Let's see. I'm reading this Geneva Bible. And I'm wondering if it doesn't, in some kind of sense, convey that because of the crucifixion, the sentence is cast upon the devil, and he's going to be cast out.
Well, and that also at the crucifixion it says, and death no longer has...
Dominion or something.
Right. I've got one of the translations here, just says the Amplified Bible. Now judgment is upon this world. Parentheses, the sentence is being passed. Parentheses. Now the ruler of this world, Satan. In parentheses, will be cast out. So kind of concerning. They've got to be referring to the crucifixion because that's.
It's kind of funny though because it's. It's making the crucifixion the one, but the other part really isn't going to happen right away, you know. But it still happened at the crucifixion. The sentence was put there, and the breaking of his hold.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting too. When you look at like verse 32, then it says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," which is kind of referring to those 3 days in Hades.
I think so. Yeah.
And will draw all men unto me. So that's all the saints that are coming up with him. The saints that were waiting for his crucifixion. Yeah. At least I think that's what I got straight in my head.
And I'm wondering, so really, I think it does imply that we really don't have to be under Satan's power. Since the crucifixion. I mean, it says you will tread on serpents, you know. I mean, it's probably our own weakness that we still are, but I think you could possibly not be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I mean, since the crucifixion, praying for demons has got power. I mean, prior to that, there was faith involved. I mean, and Christ did do a lot of deliverance. But
that was
of course,
Christ. Too.
That was Christ with the fullness of God dwelling within him. And you kind of go, got it. But I think after the crucifixion, then, you know, and and he tells them to go out.
Yeah, he does.
And he also, I mean, he's saying, he knows this is going to happen, and he knows that the power will, because once he dies and then is resurrected, goes to hell and comes back. I mean, he has defeated.
And they probably were walking pretty much without, and then eventually Peter had a weakness, and he still succumbed to the power of the enemy, you know, for a time, short time. But then after that, I don't think he was falling. I don't think the devil had too much of a hold on him after that.
No.
You know.
But in 32, and I, if I am lifted up,
that's a good catch.
From the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The word if is in there.
Well, maybe that means not everybody will lift him
no,
up.
He says,
or acknowledge him as
I,
being lifted up.
No, he says, and I, if I am lifted up.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's like.
It makes it a question.
Yeah, it's not like. It almost sounds like if my Father lifts me up or takes me, then I will draw all people to me.
It might convey the idea because.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The Amplified, I mean, the King James, the New King James, and all four of the New American Standards, and then the 95, 90, 77, say, if I am lifted. The Amplified Bible says, and I, comma, if, and then in italics, and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw all people to myself, Gentiles as well as Jews. But a good catch. I kind of blew over the if in this.
I know you did. I was looking at it and said, if I am lifted up, like
sounds like a question to me, Courtney.
Yeah, like it's not his choice.
Well,
a number of others say when.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. And, you know, he's saying.
Oh, Charlie just pointed out. Some say when, though.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
it's kind of odd, you know, how they.
When is a lot different than the word if.
Yeah.
When decide does it says it's in time and it'll happen.
It will happen.
But now you're in doubt if it'll happen with the word if. You know, it's more questionable.
Yeah.
With the word if.
It may convey the idea of because I am going to be lifted up. You. I will draw all men. There may be that sense.
A lot of their newer translations go, yeah, what they meant to say here was.
Yeah.
So a lot of the when, I see the when in the NIV, and I, when I, and the NL, the New Living, says, and when. English Standard says, and I, when. And the Berean Study Bible says, when. But then the Berean Literal says, if I. And when the King James, and you know, many, many say, if I, the Amplified has in italics, and when.
So in some sense, it does make a difference which version of the Bible you're reading to get meaning of some words, you know, as they put in there, you know. If you're really studying the Bible, if you're not, then it don't matter, you know.
Yeah.
Well, but I can see a good scriptural explanation for the if, and it really kind of goes to points that Jesus is not God. He says, and he's saying, if the Father does something, the when maybe kind of diminishes that and states it as a fact. And so there's a way to look at that.
Verse 33 may help too. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. He's not leaving a question there. And I don't know if I am lifted up from the earth is a reference to being lifted up and put on the cross. As he said, signifying by what death he would die.
Right. Yeah, he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up.
In 34.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to, yeah. The Son of Man must be lifted up.
Who is this Son of Man?
Well, it says the Son of Man must be lifted up with a question mark.
Yeah. There's a question mark.
And then, who is this Son of Man? We're going, you know, he's got to be lifted up, and who is he again?
Mm-hmm. People have answered him. We've heard the law of the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?
And then he gives them that straight parable answer.
All right. A little longer, light will be with you. Walk where you have the light. It says, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. Now,
and he does. But they couldn't see that.
Yeah, he didn't remain forever in the natural.
No,
he was
buried. Oh, so that's what they were looking at, is the natural.
I think so.
Well, clearly.
Which wouldn't make sense in a way either, though, because they knew they all died at a certain time, so why?
Well, except for a Christ. I wonder what their scripture is.
Yeah.
I don't think in their mind the Messiah dies for a period of time. He's just always living, kind of godlike.
Yeah, right. They had a little confusion on this issue of the humanity of Christ.
This was a stumbler.
All right. You know, the book of John really has got some stuff in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's meat there.
Which one don't?
You know, and I heard again today, and I should really write it down, memorize it, because he says things that it's like, how can you even begin to think that he's God? I mean, I am going to your God and to my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you get around that? You know?
Well, the bigger question is, how do we get around it for so many years?
Yeah.
So far, looking back, I go, what did we do to just ignore these things?
Yeah, well, here too. Most surely I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. And he's talking about himself.
Right.
You know.
And his position relative to God.
Right.
You know.
I'm not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak.
I could just hear Don Barnett saying, well, that's speaking of his humanity, you know, because he's fully God, fully man, that's the humanity part there, you know, but then there's also the deity part, so, you know. It was, he really had a quick, easy answer. And I think.
But a lot of these other scriptures were hidden, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
To us and him.
It doesn't work, as far as I'm concerned. But that, that's the humanity, but then there's the, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's easy to say, but it doesn't work.
And the problem is that there are a lot of people that are deceived in certain areas, and whenever they see a scripture, they work with their deception.
Yeah, the deception rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real easy thing to say.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Except that then he goes, and I am going to be one with my Father, and you are one with me, and you know, so.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
You just
became gods, you know?
A lot of those things, I think, are actually in a world that we haven't come into yet. You know?
Oh, we have not experienced it.
No.
Yeah, that's for
right,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have to believe it because
I think when that starts happening, definitely you will have more power over the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scripture in verse 36. He says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Well, it's more like, oh, by the way, here's your answer, and I'm leaving, so you can't ask me any more questions about it. Just chew on this for a while.
Yeah.
That the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, because he did all these signs and they did not believe in him. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Therefore
they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them.
Isn't it so remarkable that that continues to be true?
Yeah. You know, I
blind our eyes too.
I noticed something too. It's that reference. This is kind of a little different subject, but you know, we say, well, we had a deliverance ministry. Well, so I'm thinking of the term deliverance. But there was as many demons that were referred to as they were being healed when the demon left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
And so I think we need to, you know, see, we need to cast them out. We need to deliver people. Well, no, maybe you need to just heal them from the devil, you know? And of course, demons did go out of the people in that same instance, which just makes it really kind of odd, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, then they were delivered, but they were healed. You know, it was like something was different.
I know. With my cancer, there is a spiritual element to it. A spiritual element.
Yeah.
You know? Victory would involve healing, though. You know, even
right.
though I might have some things happen that are very similar to what happens during deliverance, you know, like coughing and the whatever, you know. But,
or you may not, and you would just be healed. And
that
I mean, and you'll know that the dark side is left.
Mm, yeah.
You know.
Yes, that's true.
Or something.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I might just throw
yeah.
words out.
And there's, you know, how you manifest during the thing doesn't
yeah.
signify just a whole bunch.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah, I think if we got to start looking at things being completely open to, it could happen a whole different way, you know, or different ways or
mm-hmm.
whatever than we were accustomed to.
Sure.
Well, one thing is for sure, when we're in deliverance, we really had no idea what we were doing.
We were groping, weren't we?
Yeah. I know how many times that I have run into Vicki, and she has thanked us, you know, us, me, us, whoever, for the time we spent casting out the spirits, because it changed her whole way of life. And she did things that she was never able to do before.
Mm.
But yeah, not a stewardess, but a
travel guide. Yeah.
Travel guide.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said that was not something I could have ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we could really see the effects. If we could have seen this in more cases.
It's hard to say how people would be without deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you can see a lot of people that haven't had deliverance off the world right now. You know?
Well.
Just the way people are acting, talking, and doing things. You know?
people that had been through all that in years past?
No, I'm just talking about people in general.
People in general? Well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you look at the news and you wonder, where are these people coming from? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to wonder, I think they're being controlled somehow, somewhere.
Oh, you're not saying people that have had deliverance. You're
no, say people that haven't had it.
Haven't had it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think you can, by association that, I'm not saying it right, but I'm saying it. You, having gone through it, you can see what it is.
Yeah.
Most people don't understand it.
You can recognize
right.
where
yeah.
the enemy is working.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. How he's turning people to his way. Chaos. Thoughts. For some good areas to have honed in on tonight so far.
I'm just wild that we ended up talking about the same prophet in a totally different way, and we came back, and so scriptures even reference Elisha.
Yeah.
After making a comment about it.
Because
they were referencing him right after he makes his comment, and that's the prophet they reference or talk about. It's just interesting to me how things intersect sometimes. I'm referring to what was being said in John 12:39-41. I mentioned that Elisha. My name, so I just looked at this and wow.
Well, I think it's Isaiah in wow.
They're quoting. He's quoting Isaiah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not Elisha. Not. Where did you see Elisha in chapter 12?
12:39. It says, therefore they could not believe because that Elijah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their.
No, it's Isaiah said again.
Oh, Isaiah.
Elias, the King James calls him Elias, so it's very confusing.
Yeah, okay.
E-L-I-A-S, talking about Elijah. I mean, Isaiah.
I got the name twisted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that.
Not my strength.
Well, yeah. No, but like if it's spelled kind of differently,
yeah,
I can see why you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elias. E-L-I-A-S.
Well, translation, I don't know. It's just.
I don't know why the King James should do that. You know,
it has to be Isaiah because he's the one that said it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It is Isaiah.
But how is it? But how does it? In your, you have the New King. I mean, you have the King James. Isn't it spelt different though?
Yeah, Isaiah.
Isaias. Yeah, E-S-A-S.
Yeah, I look at it as
E-L-I-A-S.
I don't think there's even an L in there, is there?
No.
Oh, there's that? Oh.
No.
What is it?
Isaias.
Isaias. E-S-A-I-A-S is how it says it here.
Oh.
And there's not the L.
Yeah, I know I've read it somewhere where it's that spelling. I don't know why or where I've read it because... Maybe I was.
No, that's the King James. You read it in the King James where you read it.
Well,
yeah, some on some stray occasion, maybe a Gideon Bible or something. Right.
How's it spelled in the Old Testament?
Isaiah.
Why did they?
Yeah, they spelled it right in the Old Testament.
So why did they do that in the New? Throw that in there. That's crazy.
Might have something to do with Greek or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That King James, he could throw a curve now and then.
Well, the thing is, and this is what people don't understand, that any of the translations are subject to error. Unless you don't mind it repeat.
Well, yeah, that's the part that...
And there's a lesson in that for us.
And the reason is the Holy Spirit was given for the purpose of straightening out the error.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So then it don't really make much difference what translation you use if you go and let the Holy Spirit do his work.
Amen.
He'll straighten it out for you.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I was thinking on this the other day. If the Holy Spirit is giving truth, then everyone that hears is going to have the same truth.
Exactly.
I mean, the same truth. Not little blips here like in the translations. It's going to be the same truth.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is not going to be a trinity.
No. I was thinking on that, and I you have to dwell on that a little bit because, you know, it's like, oh, well, we can't all think the same. Well, if you're going to be the true body of Christ and the true church of God, family of God, you will all have the same truth.
And Paul says as much.
Yeah.
Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians or, you know, he said, you know. Now, I suppose, but yes, that's right. There's one Spirit. One Spirit.
Yeah.
One Spirit.
One truth.
Right. Thing. Yeah, you're not going to have one Spirit saying
two different things.
Depending on where he is.
Well.
But is it called, some place called the Spirit of Truth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will send you the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah.
The comfort of the Spirit of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of Truth. So
he's not going to be like, what was the one that approached Jesus and said, what is truth?
Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can make some declarations or whatever that. So if you continue to insist on listening to somebody else, you are never going to get the complete truth. You know, like we share, but and they say, well, yeah, but you guys are saying you have the truth, and you're telling them, well, yeah, but it's only if the Holy Spirit backs it up in the Scripture that we all see it the same, you know. And we still probably don't see it all the same yet, even us together.
No, it's in his timing.
Yeah. But
it gets closer all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so if we all saw it the same, there wouldn't be much of a discussion, would there?
No.
It's
a process.
Yeah. But it'd be great if there wasn't a discussion that you just had the truth.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
As far as I look at it.
Yeah. and in the discussion, you know, when things are cooking good, someone says something, yes, we all know that's true.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's apparent to us all.
Yeah.
Which hardly has ever happened anywhere.
No,
that's
not
character. I know it's probably happening other places now,
yeah.
You know, the same as it is with us.
No, that's not characteristic of what happens in the natural world or whatever.
Of
you know.
The church.
Of these typical church experience.
Right.
And one of the main reasons people are not tuned that way.
No.
they don't want to really agree.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to give up what they think is right.
Right.
That's the thing.
That is the thing, yeah.
You know, like somebody
you want to be boss kind of thing.
Keeps insisting on a certain thing. And I won't say names or anything, but, you know, about the fact of God, man, or whatever, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
If you just won't give that up, then you're never, you're going to be hindered.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go in churches now, you know, they listen to the pastor because he's got the answers.
Right.
You know, so why do I have to do anything more? All I need to do is just listen to the pastor and believe what he says.
Mm-hmm. See, and I, and they say, well, yeah, but I'll say, I'll listen to anyone who tells me that they're listening to the Word of God without studying for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth. I'll listen to what they have to say. You know? But if they aren't doing that, why would I want to listen to them? You know, that if they're not counting on the Holy Spirit to give them truth, then why would I want to listen to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. So, until I hear if someone says they're doing this, you know. And, you know, and it's interesting because, well, what do you mean you have to hear it? Well, hey, that's the way it was presented initially. It got read in the synagogues, the Word of God, every time they met. You know?
Yeah.
So now you just do it easier because you don't have to go to a synagogue. You can just sit in your house and have it going and listen, you know, mm-hmm. or in your vehicle or whatever.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. That's one part of technology that God certainly had his hand on, you know.
Well, that's how he gets it across the whole world, you know.
Or can, yeah. I still think word of mouth is still going to be a major part of the end, though.
Oh, yeah, because,
you know,
they're going to shut technology down so that, or preach their own, which they want you to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they're kind of doing now anyway.
Mm. Yeah, they're trying.
I'm encouraged, though. I mean, for Keith's Friday night group, someone brought in a cake, and there was a little bit of card exchanging and things that went on, so there was a little bit of a birthday acknowledgement. But I did hear people say, and they've been consistent, I'm hearing this, body ministry is the only way. I mean, they're clearly not stuck on the minister. You know, they clearly get the concept of the Holy Spirit will work and will work through multiple people or different people or all of us at the same time, but to different degrees and different ways. And so I was encouraged in that. The revelation about the body ministry and the Holy Spirit. I think they have a firm grasp on that.
I have a firm hold of that.
Good. Because I think it's salvational.
It is. I had a dream. In a dream. Right up next to where Jesus was standing. Right next to him. I didn't see him. But I saw millions of angels. You see, he said, millions of them.
Mm.
They're all over the place. You want somebody you get it for you.
The Bible talks about a cloud of witnesses. Maybe it was something like that, huh?
Yeah.
enough to do the job, right?
Oh, more or less.
I don't know. If you saw millions, I think it's more. I don't know what
the left. I do love the idea of there being millions and millions of angels.
Yeah,
you know?
That's excitingly.
Not that a one of them couldn't do the job, but you know, still it conveys that. Yeah, no, I love that idea.
It's all in our future. Just hang on to what Jesus said. I'll hang on by knowing everything you know about Jesus. And what he said,
Amen.
It is exactly right.
Yep.
Amen.
Hang on to everything Jesus said.
That is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Chuck's not left out.
Me?
I know. Chuck's not left out.
Ah. When you listen to just one pastoral accomplishment that Don Barnett has you would live on this earth longer. How he's survived, how he's kept on earth. He's still here.
By Jesus, yeah.
I don't think he's still here anymore. Are you talking about Don?
Yeah, I think he passed a few years back.
He passed away.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But you probably weren't aware of that.
Candy has said that she says, I think that God is making sure that he's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I see no reason why he shouldn't. You know?
Yeah.
There's, there's nothing about that heart that...
Something was said, and I think I mentioned it maybe early last Sunday night, but something was said Sunday about, Susan was talking, and she was kind of explaining how it's going to be interesting how we're ready to be, except how we've been doing this for so long, and we're in there, and we're doing the good fight. Someone's going to just kind of skip in the room and get this downpouring of the Spirit. We're all going to go, I didn't know that. Oh, you know, they're going to just, we'll be grasping on the coattails as they're just off to glory, you know. And it occurred to me, I said, well, the advantage is they didn't probably have to undo 30 years of bad teaching or preconception. So it's like, you know, I think of Charles and it's like, he's not hanging on to any of that bad conceptual stuff. He is truly approaching God, as we say, like a child. And what amazing thing God can do. I mean, that's our heart, to approach God like a child. Mm-hmm. Not from a position of knowledge or authority or entitlement, because we kind of kicked that around the other day as well. But it's like, no, from grace and mercy and a heart for the truth.
Oh, Charles has an experience, a dream or whatever. I want to hear about it.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
what do you want to hear?
Well, I want you to tell about it.
I'll tell you. It's just my mind. I'll tell about it.
Okay. Well, good. Because I want to hear it.
Please do.
Yeah. It, it,
profession. Is profession even a word used? In heaven. Everything is A-okay.
Yeah. You got it.
Can you improve on that, or is that a good stopping point?
Sure. Yeah, that's good. That was very good. Thank you, Charles.
Love you all.
What troubles me, though, Corky, is